الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Bukhari and Muslim both narrated from the root of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, may Allah raise his rank, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah harrama alaykum 'uquq al-ummahat wa wa'd al-banat wa man'a wa hat wa kariha lakum qila wa qal wa kathrat as-su'al wa idha'at al-mal." In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah made it forbidden upon us three matters without going into details. They are عقوق الأمهات, to harm mothers severely, which includes harming fathers severely as well. The second is to bury the newborn baby girls alive, as was the habit of some of the Arabs during the era of ignorance. And to ask of money which you are not entitled to, and not to pay what you are obligated to. These are the three forbidden matters. The other three, in which the Prophet classified as being disliked, unless any of them reaches the level of haram, they are qil wa qal, meaning to talk a lot without any obtained benefit, and to ask a lot for no benefit, and to waste your money. So the first three matters which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered as haram are عقوق الأمهات ووأد البنات, as he mentioned, ومنع وهات. عقوق الأمهات, to harm one's mother severely, is an enormous sin. Same as harming fathers severely, one's father severely, is a major sin as well. However, harming one's mother severely is more sinful than harming one's father severely. Likewise, being kind to your mother is more rewardable than being kind to your father. Now, you should be kind to both of them. You should not harm any of them. But what is more rewardable is to be kind to your mother. What is more sinful is to harm your mother severely. Now, the definition of al-uquq Because many people are unaware of the definition of al-uquq. What is it classified as uquq? Which is an enormous sin, a very dangerous and destructive sin, is to harm one's parents or any of them with severe harm, like to swear at one's mother, to swear at one's father, to hit one's mother or to hit one's father, or to humiliate your mother or your father in front of people. These are major sins. The punishment for al-uquq, for harming parents severely, is so severe in the hereafter, to an extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل الجنة عاق. This hadith means that the one who is harming his parents severely will not be amongst the first batch to be admitted into paradise. Rather, he will be delayed, and he deserves to be punished in hellfire severely if he did not repent before death. So if one is harming his parents or any of them severely and dies in that state, this person deserves to be delayed from being admitted into paradise and to being subject to a severe torture in hellfire. That shows the severity of such a sin. And this is also the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ الْعَاقُ لِوَالِدَيْهِ وَالدَّيُّوثِ وَرَجُلَةُ النِّسَاءِ. Same when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses such an expression, لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, about the believers, it means he won't be with the first batch to be admitted into paradise. And it means that he deserves a severe torture in hellfire prior to being admitted into paradise. Who are these three types of people that deserve to be delayed from being admitted into paradise and to be tortured in hellfire severely? The first type is the type of people who harm their parents severely. Such a person deserves to be tortured in hellfire severely. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that most of the sins, the punishment is usually deferred to the hereafter. But as for sins like عقوق الوالدين, harming parents severely, the punishment will befall one in this life before the hereafter. So this is from the punishments that will occur to one in this life, on top of what is saved for him in the hereafter from types of punishments. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us. So al-aqu liwalidayh. The second type, ad-dayyuth. Ad-dayyuth is the one who sees fornication and adultery in his own family, and he is able to stop it, but he chooses not to. So he is pleased with what is happening. He doesn't try to stop it. He let it go, and he is able to stop it. Such a person is called a dayyuth, and that's a major sin as well. The last one is the last type, rajulatun nisa. This is a type of woman who imitate men. Now, for men to imitate women, that's a major sin. And for women to imitate men, that's a major sin as well. But for women to imitate men, this is more sinful. So that's why these are three types of people the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about deserve to be delayed from entering paradise and to be subject to prior torture in hellfire before they go to paradise. Even if one's parents are non-believers, listen to this, even if one's parents are not believers, they are original blasphemers. Let us say someone was from a non-Muslim family, then he embraced Islam, but his parents remained as non-believers. Even in such a case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be kind to them. To be kind to them. However, we do not obey them in something that is forbidden. Because there is no obedience that is due to any one in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't obey my father in disobeying Allah. I don't obey my mother in disobeying Allah. I do not obey my wife in disobeying Allah. I do not obey my children in disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. I do not obey my boss at work in disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. So always remember this. Always remember this, that if one requests of you to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, then you should not obey him. You should not obey him. Because Allah, the one who created you, is worthy of obedience. But if a slave is telling you to do something that is disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, you do not listen to him. Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your non-Muslim parents order you to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, do not obey them. However, keep treating them kindly in this world. And this is one of the teachings of Islam that one should know about. So if your parents are non-believers and they are ordering you to associate partners with Allah, then you do not obey them. However, you treat them kindly in this world. So what about if your parents are believers? What about if your parents are practicing Muslims? They pray, they fast, and they are not ordering you to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. Then why wouldn't you obey them to make them happy? So al-aqqu liwalidayhi, that's on one extreme, that's the one who is harming his parents severely. On the other extreme, there is the one who is very, very kind to his parents. Al-barru biwalidayhi. So you have al-aq liwalidayhi, the one who harms them severely, and you have al-barru biwalidayhi, the one who is very kind to his parents. Al-barru biwalidayhi will be rewarded greatly. One of the righteous Muslims had the opportunity to meet with Prophet Al-Khadr alayhi salam. Al-Khadr, Prophet Al-Khadr is alive. But not everyone can see him. Sometimes those who are highly righteous might have the opportunity to meet with Al-Khadr. There was a righteous person called Bilal Al-Khawas. He had the opportunity to meet with Al-Khadr. He was walking once, then he saw someone walking next to him. He asked him, Who are you? And he said, I am Al-Khadr. At the end of the talk with him, he said to him, for what virtue I was granted this merit to meet with you personally? And he said to him, with the virtue of you being kind to your mother. For that virtue, he was granted the merit of meeting with Al-Khadr, a prophet, alive, in reality. That shows you the virtue of and the merit of being kind to your parents. To be bar biwalidayk, kind to your parents, you need to obey them in all the permissible matters, or most of them. Now, what is obligatory upon you, you have to do it. But I'm talking about what is permissible, something that is not an obligation upon you, and your parents tell you to do it, and it is permissible. Then in order for you to be classified as bar biwalidayk, kind to your parents, you obey them in all the permissible matters they request of you, or most of them. Here you would weigh your deeds and see what you are doing, if you are bar biwalidayk or not. In Islam, being kind to one's parents is highly emphasized, to an extent that if your parents are poor, even if your father is able to work, but he chooses not to work, he wants to rest, you are obligated, if you are able, to support your parents financially, to provide them with adequate food, clothing, and shelter. So even if your father chooses not to work, then you are obligated to support your parents who are poor, if you are able. If you have in excess of what would cover your basic needs, not you are saving money to buy a Ferrari, for instance. You say, I want to buy this, I want to buy this mansion, so I can't afford to help and support my parents. No. What would cover your basic needs, adequate shelter, clothing, and food, if you have an excess of that, then you have to support your poor parents. Even it is an obligation, and we mentioned this before, upon one who is able to help his father who is in need to get married, If your father is in need of getting married after the death of your mother, he needs someone to look after him, to be with him, and he feels he has a need to get married, you as a son, if you are able, you have to support your father. And that's the meaning of the hadith, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. This hadith means your father has rights on you, even in your money. And this is one example. If you are solvent, you have in excess of what would cover your basic needs, and your father is in need of getting married, then you have to support him. Sustenance and other things that your father is in need of, you support him. That's the meaning of the hadith. It doesn't mean, as some people say, and they misunderstand the hadith, they think the hadith means the father can come to his son's house at any time and grab whatever he wants from his son's house. That's not the meaning of the hadith. It means when your father is poor, he's in need of your support and you can support him, then you have to. So he has right on you in your money. That's the meaning of the hadith. From what is classified as uquq, is for one to help his father in wronging his mother, or to help his mother in wronging his father. We did mention لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to anyone in disobeying the Creator. So even if your mother, who has dispute with your father about certain things and asks of you some support and help to wrong your father, you are not allowed to help your mother in this manner. And vice versa. That's classified from al-uquq. And this is classified from the asabiyya that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked for us and warned us against. What is al-asabiyya? To help someone in wronging others based on one's nationality or race or relationship. If someone, let us say your brother, wronged someone, you are not allowed to help your brother to wrong that one. Your cousin has a dispute with a stranger. If your cousin is wronging the stranger, you are not allowed to help your cousin wrong that stranger. That's what is called racism. And it's rejected in our religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us against this. And he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ دَعَى إِلَىٰ عَصَبِيَّةٍ. Meaning one wouldn't be following our methodology if he's calling for racism. He also mentioned about it, leave it because it is rotted. So it's a rotted thing. Racism, to support a relative, to support someone who is close to you or from your tribe, for what reason? In wronging others. This is haram, this is forbidden. Rather you support what? The truth. Wherever you find the truth, you support it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. So literally it means support your brother when he is unjust and when he is wronged. They said, O Messenger of Allah, I support him when he is wronged, treated unjustly by someone. But how would I support him if he is unjust? The Prophet said, you prevent him from wronging others. You prevent him from being unjust to others. That means you are supporting him. You are helping him. He is in need of help. So if he is being unjust to others, and you can afford some support and help to stop him from wronging others, that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant in the hadith. One companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most deserving of my companionship? The Prophet said, your mother. Then the companion said, and who's next? The Prophet said, your mother. Then he said, and who's next? The Prophet said, your mother. Then he said, and who's next? Then he said, your father. So he mentioned the mother three times, then he mentioned the father. So that's why they say to be kind to your mother is more rewardable than being kind to your father. To harm your mother severely is more sinful than harming your father severely. But in both cases, harming any of them severely is a major sin. But which is worse, it's harming your mother severely. So things could happen to you in this life as a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal for you for harming your parents severely. So always think about this. You want your life to be free of these types of punishments, then think about this. Do not harm your parents severely or any of them. Try to make them happy. Try to make them happy. There was a person from the children of Israel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded with a great reward in this life. Within the story about the cow mentioned in the Quran, that righteous son whose father was righteous and his mother is righteous. So a righteous father, a righteous mother, and they had a righteous son. That righteous son used to divide his night into 3/3. He would sleep 1/3 of a night. The 2/3 he would be praying, praising Allah Azza wa Jal. And the 3/3 he would be just sitting next to his mother while she's asleep. So if she wakes up, she wants some water or the like, he will be able to serve her every night. He divided his night into 3/3. 1/3 for praying, 1/3 for sleeping, and 1/3 to stay next to his mother in case she needs anything. His day, he will be working during his day, and the money earned during the day will be divided into 3/3 as well. 1/3 for his mother, 1/3 will keep for himself to buy what he needs, and 1/3 donated to the poor for the sake of Allah. And inshallah, we'll talk about this story of the cow in a separate lesson, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. But this is for you to see how they used to think. You want to reach righteousness, then you want to follow their footsteps. So that's the first forbidden matter mentioned in the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ عُقُوقَ الْأُمَّهَاتِ. To harm mothers severely, which includes harming fathers severely as well. The second, the Prophet mentioned وَوَعْدَ الْبَنَاتِ. To bury the newborn baby girls alive, as was the habit during the era of ignorance before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the revelation. And the first one who innovated this bad innovation was Qais ibn Asim. Then he buried eight of his daughters alive. Then after that, he embraced Islam. He heard about Islam, he embraced Islam, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him that I did such and such during the era of ignorance. I buried 8 of my daughters alive. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, free Muslim slaves, 1 for each. He said, I don't have slaves, I have camels. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, donate camels to the poor for the sake of Allah. Do you know what did he do? He donated 100 camels. He donated 100. So this is to show more cautiousness of trying to get rid of that abhorrent and bad act that he did during the era of ignorance. The third, the Prophet mentioned وَمَنْعَوْ وَهَاتْ. مَنْعًا is not to pay what you are obligated to pay. Like the one who doesn't pay as zakah, there is a portion that you have to pay as zakah with specific conditions mentioned in the rules of the religion. So if you are saving money, you have gold, you have silver, whatever you have from the cattle, you have from the camels, from the sheep and goats, all these things that are subject to zakah, then with specific conditions mentioned in the religion, you have to pay the due zakah for each. Let us say you have gold and you are saving the gold, then every lunar year you have to pay its due zakah. Same with silver, same with money. If you have money, You are saving money, hoarding money. Every lunar year you have to pay its due zakah. Many people will be saving in the bank these days, and the last thing they might think of is paying its due zakah. They will have thousands, and they say, yeah, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, and they save every year, and they have this money stored and saved in the bank, and they don't pay its due zakah. This is a major sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَمَانِعَ الزَّكَاةِ. Allah cursed the one that consumes a riba, the usurious gain, and the one who gives it to him. So he's dealing with him with riba, and the one who doesn't pay the due zakah. Those are cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Just think about this. To be cursed by Allah, mal'oon. Mal'oon, cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. That's not easy. Like, if people think about these sins and what entails in committing these sins, they will be afraid. The one who doesn't pray is mal'oon by Allah, cursed by Allah, khabith, wicked, fasiq, major sinner. يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ سُوءُ الْخَاتِمَةِ. He's under a great danger to die as non-Muslim. Because the scholars said that the sins are the pathway to blasphemy. By committing sins, you might end up committing blasphemy and dying in a state of blasphemy, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So think about this. If the devil or yourself whispers to you not to pray, think about this. If I don't pray, what does that mean? I'm wicked. I'm cursed by Allah. I'm an enormous sinner. There is a great danger that I might die in a state of blasphemy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that if one misses out one prayer, like Asr prayer, if you miss out this prayer, because many people will be busy during this time, they miss out the Asr prayer. If one misses out the Asr prayer, and this applies to other prayers as well, without an excuse, as if he has lost all his money and all his family. Meaning, to lose all your money and all your family, your wife, your children, your parents, if you lose them all and you lose all your money all at once, this is less than missing out one prayer without an excuse. What would it take from you? A couple of minutes to pray. Think about the grave. When you are in the grave, no one will be with you. Now you might be busy collecting money. At any time you might die, this money that you have collected, others will have fun with them. They will enjoy your money, and you will be questioned about your money. And when you go into your grave, you are by yourself. No one is going to be with you. Then they close the grave, they walk back home, and you are by yourself in the grave. So not to pay the obligatory zakah is a major sin. And also included in the meaning of وَمَنْعًا is if you borrow money of someone and the date is due to pay him his debt back, but for no reason you keep deferring, or you don't pay him his debt back. That is included in this hadith as well. Unless you go to him, you say, look, can I pay you later? And he says, okay, I agree. Whenever you want. I don't want them now. That's a different story. But if he's requesting the money to be paid back and it's due date, and for no reason you are deferring, that's a major sin as well. If you don't pay the obligatory sustenance to your parents who are poor and in need, if you don't pay the obligatory sustenance to your wife and children, then that is sinful as well. And if you come on the day for judgment with no sins except for this sin, that will be sufficient that you deserve to be tortured severely in hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kafa bil mar'i isman an yudayya man yaqut." It's sufficient. It suffices him to deserve to be tortured in hellfire that he doesn't pay the obligatory sustenance, either to his wife, to his children, or his poor parents, and the like. Then the Prophet said, "Wahat." Say, it's haram not to pay the due zakah and what is obligatory upon you to pay. It's haram to ask of the money which you are not entitled to. Like the one who asks of the money of a zakah to be paid for him and he's not poor. Two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they requested of the money of az-zakah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at them. They look healthy, fit, they can work, they can support themselves to cover the basics. They look healthy and fit. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't think ill of Muslims. Maybe they have an excuse which the Prophet is unaware of. He gave them from the money of az-zakah, but he warned them. He said to them, this money is not halal for the one who is solvent or the one who is able to work and support himself to cover his basic needs. There are some people who beg and they have it as a habit. They might be rich. You will be shocked to know about some people who have buildings. They built buildings, but they beg. They have a lot of money, but they go to people and they beg them, give me money, give me money, give me money. It's a habit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that such a person will come on the day for judgment with no piece of meat on his or flesh on his face. Because as he used today to look at people's faces and beg them in this life, his face will be without flesh on the day of judgment. He's not entitled to beg. He's solvent. He has what covers his basic needs. And despite that, he is begging people. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the other three disliked matters. And in some cases, they could be haram. These three matters are qila wa qal. Qila wa qal, to talk a lot, to be talkative, and without realizing, without monitoring your words, you just like to talk. It has a benefit, it doesn't have a benefit. You want to talk. This is disliked. If it falls into any of the forbidden talks, it becomes haram, forbidden. Like you might be talking to someone, then while you are talking, you fall into al-ghiba, gossiping others, talking about them in matters that they dislike to be mentioned. You might be talking to your friend, let us say, your neighbor. And she might ask you why you look upset. Then you say, my son, he came back home, he was so dirty, he went to the room, he didn't clean up himself. You are talking about your son, you're gossiping your son. This is haram. He doesn't like to be mentioned with this. You talk about your daughter, she doesn't help me at home, she's such and such, that's even haram. You can't talk about your daughter in that way. This is gossiping. So it doesn't mean if she's your daughter or your son, that means you can slander them and you can talk about them in the way they dislike to be mentioned with. That's not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to one of the companions, he gave him advice. He said, أمسك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابك على خطيئتك. How beautiful is it for one to practice these three matters, the advice from the Prophet. أمسك عليك لسانك, hold your tongue. Make sure you do not say except what is beneficial. Keep monitoring your tongue. Do not say except what is beneficial. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you. Do not look for more even from haram. We call this al-qana'ah, to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with. This is the meaning of وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Because some people, they wanna take more and more and more from this world. Prophet Isa alayhi salam likened the one who is running after the dunya with the one who is drinking from the seawater. The more he drinks, the more thirsty he becomes. This is the dunya. The more you follow the dunya, the more you indulge in pursuing these pleasures, that eventually you will leave them. Some said, if your target is to get most of the pleasures of this dunya, then remember that soon you will depart it as you first came to it. When you first came to this dunya, when your mother gave birth to you, they wrap you and that's it. This is how you came to this dunya. Soon when you die, they will wrap you, put you in the grave. Same way as you came to this dunya. So why you wanna be greedy? You don't wanna be content. You want to take from this dunya more and more and more. Be content, be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with. I always mention this story because there is a wisdom in it. They mention of a fisherman who used to go and fish every day. He will get what will suffice him for the day, come back, sell them, buy food for his family, and that's it. For the rest of the day, he will be practicing acts of worship. One day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed upon him that he was able to fish in a short period of time what would usually take with him hours to fish this amount of fish. So he came back. He met a friend. His friend said to him, what are you doing? He said, I finished for the day. This is what I need for every day. I finished. He said, if you are catching fish, why don't you stay for longer? He said, what for? He said, if you fish more fish, then you sell them, then you get more money. He said, then what? He said, then you can buy a net and you fish with the net and you can catch more fish. He said, then what? He said, you can sell them, get more money. He said, then what? He said, then you can buy a small boat, you can go deeper, you can catch more fish and bigger fish. So you sell them, you get more money. He said, then what? He said, as you're doing this, you end up buying a big boat, let us say, and you can hire people, they can go fish for you, and you can go home and have a rest. He said to him, I'm now going home to have a rest. I am now going home to have a rest. So why you wanna take me through all that to say to me, go back home and have a rest? I'm going home now to have a rest. Al-qana'atu kanzun la yafna, to be content is like a non-perishing treasure. It's like a non-perishing treasure. So that's a treasure to be content, but to be greedy, this is a disease. We ask Allah to help you get cured from this disease. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكَسْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ. That's another disliked manner, to ask about matters that do not concern you, do not bring you any benefit. Many people like to ask about what concerns them and what does not concern them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. It's a good sign of having, of being a good practicing Muslim, is not to ask about what doesn't concern you. But many people are very nosy, they say. They like to know about what others are doing. They want to ask. And because they ask Allah, others will tell them, others will gossip other Muslims, and those will be listening to the gossip, and they fall into sins. So one should not ask about what doesn't concern him. However, if there is something that brings you a benefit, such as to ask about a religious matter, that's of course rewardable. You shouldn't be shy. You should call and ask, I want to learn about this, I want to understand this case. This is something that concerns you. It's a matter of your religion. The last thing is إضاعة المال. To spend your money in other than the ways of goodness. If you spend your money to have a luxurious life, this is disliked. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against indulging in chasing a luxurious life. It's so dangerous if you get used to live a luxurious life. Why? Because if you get used to such a type of life, what about if you get poor later on? Yourself wouldn't accept that big change from luxury to poverty. Then you start thinking about getting money to substantiate that life, luxurious life, even if you were to get money from haram. That's why it's very dangerous. Do not get used to a luxurious life. With your children, teach them that, okay, today all what we're gonna eat is tea and bread. Today we're gonna eat dates. That's it, that's for the day. Every now and then, not take away food every day. Most of the food of the Prophet was what? Dates and water. That's it. Dates and water. 2 months would pass on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without cooking in his house. So now you need that hot food. You love it. 2 months, imagine not cooking at home. All what you eat is dates and water. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came home and he wanted to eat something with bread. Bread and something else. He asked our Lady Aisha radiallahu anha, what do we have for idam? Idam is what you eat with bread. The type of food you eat with bread. She said, we only have vinegar. Do you know the vinegar? Then maybe you add it to the food now, salad, whatever. She said, we only have vinegar. The Prophet said, نِعْمَ الْإِدَامُ الْخَلْ. What a good idam vinegar is. And he ate the vinegar with the bread. That was what he ate. The Prophet sometimes would come home and ask, what do we have in the morning after praying subah? Do we have food? And his wife would tell him, no, we don't. Then he would say, I'll fast this day for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to come home if you don't find food, you start breaking the dishes, you become very angry because your wife didn't cook for the day. That's not the way. No food tomorrow, fast for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Eat dates and water for that day. Get used to this. Do not make yourself used to eat different types of food. It's very important to train yourself to eat in a way that you are not chasing the different types of food in this life. However, if you spend the money in something that is forbidden, like to buy alcohol, to commit fornication, this is a major sin. And this is called at-tabzir. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who spend their money in sins are like brothers to the devils. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. So that's a major sin, to spend your money in something that is haram. So in this hadith, as a conclusion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against committing three sins: harming parents severely, not paying what is obligatory upon us to pay, and to take that which we are not entitled to, and to bury the newborn baby girls alive. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about three disliked matters unless they reach the level of being forbidden, and they are to talk a lot, that's not recommended, to ask about matters that do not concern you, and to spend your money in what is permissible, just pursuing a luxurious life. That's disliked as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do our best in practicing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us with. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah three times.